Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. With me, David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. Our guest is Babette Holder. She is the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of Illinois, co-founder of the Last Civil Right Organization, a group of conservative women who are political commentators. She's also involved with the group called National Black Pro-Life Coalition.org. You go out and speak.
That's a mouthful, but yep, I do. I go out and speak. That's another mouthful right there in the earful.
And you speak about the pro-life cause.
I often speak about the pro-life cause. It is my passion, and I believe it's my purpose. And so,
recently at the launching of the 40 Days for Life out in Aurora. Aurora Planned Parenthood happens to be the largest in Illinois, Planned Parenthood, and they do take on a lot of patients or victims. And we were out there praying, launching the 40 Days for Life, where people stand out there, make a commitment to going 40 days in a row, praying that God would end abortion at this clinic.
Absolutely. And that is probably one of my, I look forward to that year round. It is, doesn't require a lot from anyone. And it's such
it's
a
one
short,
hour shifts, right?
Exactly. And it's such a short amount of time. You look up and those 40 days are gone.
And we know as Christians that God does work in the hearts of man as we appeal to him.
Absolutely. Lots of prayers are answered during those 40 days.
Let me ask you a question. You're well aware of the big women's marches in Washington, D.C., Chicago, and other big cities around the nation. Will politicians have the courage to vote to defund Planned Parenthood in the wake of those big marches?
Yeah, in the face of all these tantrums.
You know, it's almost, I never am into demeaning anyone, even those that disagree, but for grown women, I see that growth is stagnant with some people. But I do believe, to answer your question, that absolutely, because what is right is right. We cannot always give in to the whims of society.
One of the things that I see that has happened since Donald Trump has been elected, he doesn't cave in to bullying tactics, does he? And of course, that's what the left excels at. They try to intimidate their opponents into silence and inaction. But it seems as though there's a new backbone in Washington, D.C., and they're not going to be dissuaded from doing what they promised they were going to do.
Exactly. And it also will probably bring back what I say when we're lacking in manners and because not only, like as you mentioned, David, are they used to that and they use that as a weapon. They were doing it, I'm going to be honest here, to their own president. Many times we saw their own activists heckle him, and he says, "We're not going to do that. We're in my house now." And one of his most famous, President Trump, absolutely stops them dead in their tracks. He doesn't have to go into all that.
Well, this is a good point that you bring up, because for some on the left, these progressive politicians aren't going far enough. And that should scare us. That should really scare us, because I know, for example, there's
Nancy Pelosi is not liberal enough.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a scary thought. But there's an activist, Monty, you probably remember this guy, Andy Thayer.
Sure.
From downtown Chicago. He is in every single protest down there, when it's either it's anti-police, it's global warming, it's violence, whatever it is. He's out there. He's with the Gay Liberation Network, so he's out there all the time. But I know he doesn't support the Democratic candidates. He supports the Green Party candidates, and really pushing.
I don't know if Green's far enough for him.
Well, yeah. it's surprising me. It really is, and a lot of young people are buying into this democratic socialism, you know, the Jill Stein, the Bernie Sanders.
They're buying in the Marxism.
Marxism. Exactly. Thank you, Marnie.
And they believe that even with all the history showing the failure of Marxism and just how inhumane it can become when it's failing,
yes,
they think that they can, that somehow it can work. And it is really sad, and which shows the poor quality of education these children are getting today, these young college students are getting, young adults.
Do you have any hope for the youngsters and the folks in the Black community to be able to, can we reach out to them with the pro-family, pro-life message? Do you think we can recruit more people to our side as the Democrats become even more progressive, or as Monty points out, more Marxist?
I believe this is it right now.
This is
my great hope. This is our great opportunity. When you, it's funny that we're talking about hope now, how the vocabulary has become free again and
sure.
words. But I believe this is our opportunity, our chance. Let's not blow it. Sure, we're not going to be perfect on everything.
Sure.
But if they would... You know, I think by the actions, and they're going to be paying attention. We know this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it right here.
So if Donald Trump does, in fact, his administration does, in fact, bring good-paying jobs to the inner city, and if millennials no longer have to live in their parents' basements, that could change some attitudes.
That will change quite a few attitudes. Good-paying jobs, good quality education for their children. And, hey, people can maybe plan again to just take a small family vacation. I mean, people are tired
sure.
after working. And the 29 hours, we call them here in Illinois, the 29ers, and they have that across the nation. It wasn't just
this Explain
day.
What that is.
They will cut your hours. They will at 29 because even at 30 hours President Barack Obama had said that small businesses were required to provide insurance that they couldn't afford. So what these businesses did, even large businesses, because they wanted to cut the number of people because they just couldn't afford it, they would close doors. Large retailers, I know for a fact, did that. So they ended up creating these people in the workforce called the 29ers.
Isn't that amazing? I want to circle back around real quick to what it takes to reach out to pull more Black voters into voting for conservative, pro-life candidates. I've been active in the Illinois Republican Party for the last 10 years, and I have gone to the State Central Committee meetings, and I've spoke to them. When they start talking about building the tent, bigger tent, many of them, are talking about including, you know, pro-choice and pro-gay policies, right? They want to reach out to the left. To me, I say, no, reach out to the Christians who share our social concerns in the platform. And, you know, you can reach out to the Black and Hispanic communities, and we could build that tent bigger that way.
Right.
What say you?
Right. You do not need to adopt the progressive policies.
Yes.
Actually, many Black households are very conservative. You're hearing it here. Both my parents voted Democrat. All my relatives, Democrat. I know that for a fact. Many of them worked for Daley. They love Daley somewhere in there. But the household itself is conservative and Christian.
Yes.
And when you explain, if we did a better messaging on what we mean, as soon as many Blacks too nowadays hear that you're cutting a government department, it's upsetting because those are their jobs. Many of them work in the public sector. Mm. But if they hear that there's fraud, corruption, or waste, then maybe there's a better opportunity. Hey, we're going to need people over here in this bureau or this agency. We're horrible at that whole messaging. You know, it's called cutting to be fiscal. We're going to slash here to save money. That doesn't really resonate with them because, as I said, many of them now, even now, are being raised. Speaking to a young college group not that long ago with Turning Point USA members.
Sure, Charlie
College,
Kirk.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk's organization at the College of DuPage.
Okay.
I had some of these young Black students come out, and they did not want to hear about shrinking government. That is not what they want to hear. But a couple of them, when I was explaining what we mean and why— I mean, they never really hear this full from their side. They're not going to hear about the fact that we have this agency and it's actually a triplicate of two others that
right.
are, you know, getting the funding from the state or whatever. And we're spending all this money. I said, you know, if we cut their agency and the other one and we go to our core ones, do you know we could put that money back in your community? Maybe we can have a youth center for you.
That's right.
A safe place to go. That makes a huge difference to them. And we just need to do our messaging, as you said, stay on the platform that we've always, which many blacks such as myself had come to. We recognize that platform from our household.
And of course, if we do reduce some of the size and scope and spending of government, that means more take-home pay for us in our paycheck, right?
Exactly. And that's always a good thing to hear.
That's right.
All righty. We're speaking with Babette Holder. She's one of our good friends here at the Illinois Family Institute. Babette is the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Illinois, and we'll continue our discussion with Babette right after this.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? Well, at Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of his people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Lana's story in her own words.
I love getting the monthly share that I give to each month that has a name of a real person and their real medical concerns and a prayer request, you know, for them. That I get to interact with people from all over the country, just like me, and get to pray for them and know that they're praying for me when I have a need. It's great. I love it.
Lana is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit mysamaritanstory.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks for joining us here in Illinois Family Spotlight. With me is David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. By the way, I'm Monty Larrick, and our
the
guest,
one and only Monty Larrick.
Oh, my goodness. And our guest is Ms. Babette Holder.
The one and only Babette Holder.
President,
well, maybe, I don't know. Are there
Frederick
any other Babette Holders out there?
And they only need one.
They only And we're glad you're on our side, I'll tell you that.
You're unique. You're a snowflake.
No, she's not.
I'm not easily triggered, I can say that much.
She's the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Illinois, and involved with the National Black Pro-Life Coalition.org. We kind of talked about this big Women's March movement in Washington, D.C., and in Chicago, other big cities. From a pro-life perspective, what could we learn from these marches?
Well, one thing we learned is that not all women are equal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come right out with
that.
Explain
what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by that is any woman who identify as feminist but pro-life, they were not
welcome.
Oh,
good point. Very good point. Okay.
And
gotcha.
Also, what I believe is if you can march and you can advocate for the unborn. What about the unborn female?
That's right.
For the abortion of the unborn.
And who's doing the science denying, you know?
Exactly.
Science says that's a human being that has its own unique DNA and blood type. Human DNA.
That's right.
Yeah.
But are there some tactics or some messaging that maybe we could reconfigure and use for the pro-life cause?
You know, I'm going to honestly say it's hard on the pro-life side of the aisle to pull out. I mean, we have our celebrities ourselves. We have great numbers. You probably see that when you watch the National March for Life going on each year. Many people, great numbers, but we also don't have the media on our side.
No,
are there
right.
any tactics from this march that I would say we can incorporate into what we're doing? I don't believe so, because I mean they're similar.
So
but the issues
we don't use
and the
foul language
is exactly we are not going.
We
to
We don't
be
smash
it.
The windows of Starbucks. We don't burn limos owned by Muslim immigrants.
Exactly.
Right? We are peaceful, and we even clean up after ourselves for the most part.
And that's another thing. We really don't purposefully identify those who are out there with us, joining us by race, creed, culture,
right.
because unless they want to identify, as many know, when they see me at a pro-life event, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Black People Against Abortion.
Yes.
By choice, and just to make sure that, hey, you can join me if you are African American or Black and you truly value and think the unborn should have the right to life also.
Amen. And, you know, some of those women were just plain vulgar. I mean, you heard Madonna, you heard Ashley Judd, you heard all these people just saying the worst kind of things. Babette, do you think that turned off any of the people in the middle?
I'm still trying to find where the love was in that to Trump hate.
I thought the left was tolerant and inclusive.
Yeah, love Trump's hate. You're right, Babette. And what was coming out of their mouth?
I heard more hate than anything that was loving. And then not only that, but there was also those advocating Sharia law
right.
for women.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is not a woman-loving practice when you understand, the very basic and the essence of it.
And I just have to point out, too, you know, Madonna, when she was up at the microphone, admitted, I mean, she confessed to everybody that she was contemplating blowing up the White House. She was thinking about it often, she said. Now, if that was Ted Nugent, who said that back in 2009, you know the ATF would be over to his ranch confiscating all of his hunting rifles and,
cutting his hair.
And putting him in prison.
There's
a double standard here.
Well, since it was a woman who said it, let me say, if that was
a loving woman,
if that was poor Stacey Dash, oh, how they demonized that,
oh,
that
yes,
young
that's
woman.
Good point.
If Stacey Dash had even said something like, can someone just get rid of that man? It would have been construed as she meant in the worst possible way to get rid of the previous president that we had. And that's, but it's okay if they say that. It doesn't require an investigation to see where her mental state is at.
But again, I just want to go back to this mushy middle or the middle, okay? The unconvinced middle. You and I and Monty and many of our listeners are on the far right. We understand the issues. We have a biblical view of things. But there's many people in the middle. They're not necessarily persuaded by us yet. Hopefully we can because we have truth on our side. But do you think that some of their tactics on their left, every time they march downtown Chicago, they block streets. And I have to wonder, are the people who are hardworking, trying to get home from work, getting frustrated with the tactics of the left and saying, I'm done with these people?
Well, when folks see the violence
and,
the cars overturned and the stores being broken into.
And police being targeted.
Are they saying to blue-collar folks, we're not really in tune with you?
Right.
I believe they are. And that's another reason for the big sweep of Make America Great Again. They've had enough of that already prior to the woman who now turn around and they're mimicking those tactics. You know, we know where that started up again. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before in America and people haven't marched and blocked
right.
highways and interways, but now all of a sudden a woman's march is mimicking the same tactics as a group that marches because they felt like they are discriminated investigated by law enforcement and so forth. Because if you think about it, it's actually a replay. And I was at a recently out at a coffee shop, just your average coffee shop. I'm sitting there sipping my little coffee, and people whom I know don't identify as Republican, the baristas and so forth that I've talked to, absolutely turned off by this.
Good.
And these are young people, young adults, absolutely turned off. While they support some of their causes, the way they were going about it was a turn. And this
That's
was
good
female
to hear.
And male.
That is so good to hear. You know, I was in grade school when the Ronald Reagan Revolution happened, right? But I remember my dad, a Chicago firefighter, a union guy, putting on his bumper sticker, another ex-Democrat. That was the bumper sticker. And it had an influence on me. And you got to wonder, maybe that's what's happening again with Trump and his push for America, make America great, and American jobs and American steel and American trade and all this stuff. We could hope and pray.
Now, that's interesting you would say that, David, because actually yesterday I said to someone, I said, and you were in grade school. I was in high school, but Reagan was one of my first votes too later. But
his second term, I was in
his
high school.
Second, yeah, I was coming out and voting for
there
Reagan.
You go. Okay.
But my thing was, as I just said yesterday to someone, we have a lot of Reagan Democrats or ex-Democrats now with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is really almost, and they say history repeats itself. Well, I really hope so, because many of Reagan's policies and practices were pretty darn good.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, at the outset, we talked about the big marches in D.C. and Chicago and elsewhere, and we talked about how that could intimidate lawmakers about defunding Planned Parenthood. But what does the pro-life community have to do right now to encourage lawmakers to defund Planned Parenthood?
We actually need to do more things, I think, as a cohesive unit and time it all together. That's one thing I guess I should say that we can take away, because not only were they marching, they were running social media while they were marching.
They were well-funded.
That is true.
You know, they have their sugar daddy, George Soros, who's funding, I think somebody said, 50 of the organizations that marched on Washington were funded by him or affiliated with him.
And I heard a marcher, I think they allegedly it was $2,500 per marcher with some of those organizations.
No kidding.
Actually, there was a screenshot of an actual email that was sent out. Yes. So
wowzers.
So what do we need to do?
Okay, right.
Because we don't have that type of funding, I do think we should all come together. I'm all for I'm not one to need a title or my title or be under that.
How about We the People? That's a good title.
We the People, We the Pro-Life, or yes. We, you know, and every time there is, just support each other 100%. Even if you can't get out there to march, support with your publications and your blogs, with your social media sites, even with your podcasts and your internet radio shows. And let's do these in one big unit. And that way we don't require all that big money. It's we,
That's
the
right.
people,
That's
utilizing
right.
the resources we have available to us right then and there.
So you're telling our listeners to be salt and light. That's what you're telling them.
Exactly.
Get out of the salt shaker. Get out of the lampshade. Shine the light. And I would encourage people, too, also, call your Congress, your U.S. representative. Okay, Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, okay, our senators, maybe not. But you can call your U.S. representatives and ask them, encourage them, beg them to defund Planned Parenthood. Our tax dollars do not or should not be going to this wicked, sinister organization.
I think they should call Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, because why should they just get the encouragement?
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying.
But no, I agree. I mean,
do it anyway.
It may fall on deaf ears, but we're going to keep reminding them we are here, and we're going to keep growing in numbers.
Good. Thank you for that correction.
Babette Holder, how can folks connect with you?
You can find me on Facebook as Babette Holder, or Twitter is at Behold226. I'll probably get back to you, to be honest, faster on Twitter.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Dave, word of encouragement.
All right. With that correction on contacting our U.S. senators, let's read Proverbs 25:15, which says, "With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." So kindly contact your representatives and tell them, please, defund Planned Parenthood.
All righty. Thanks so much. Thanks, Babette. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, folks, for listening. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.